with the Trump movement and this and that. And that's probably true. I mean, because Alberta has wanted to separate for a long time. And
that's interesting.
I know it's like the population density is way different between the states and Canada, but like the size of Alberta would be the size of like the Pacific Northwest in its entirety. Like if there's like it's crazy. It with
Washington, Oregon.
Yeah, like all of that and Montana and Wyoming, mixed together. About the size.
Yeah, as Americans, we don't really understand like sometimes the scope of like
size
the
reference,
especially
yeah,
Western
like,
Canada.
When I was on
the road,
you could like tour just out west alone, make a living. When it was hot and it was on fire in the bar scene.
Yeah,
and you would still travel like 10 hours in between each gig.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, damn.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to forget the plug. Chade's got a new song out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to tell him about it a little bit? You want to talk about your song?
Yeah. It's a country song.
Yeah, it's a good country song.
Called Whiskey Sweet Whiskey.
I heard it the other night.
You can find it on all the digital outlets.
There you go. Let's plug that real quick.
Your various
hits.
Yeah. I'll maybe play it later. Maybe I'll roll the show out.
Yeah, give it a spin later.
Yeah, then, let everybody hear it. That's a great country song.
The whole thing came together so quick. The writing came together.
Yeah.
It was like 80 minutes. I got it out, like writing it.
Oh, really?
And then,
yeah.
Of course, you got to work the arrangement. I mean, when I go hard, right? So, when I say it was the easiest one, it's like, 14 hours.
Well, good
a day
songs rate themselves. Yeah. Isn't that what they say?
Typically, how long does it take you, on average, to kind of get a song down and at least get a recording of it?
Well, now that I have to do everything, all the editing, and then, if everything is on the computer running right, and I'm not running into CPU issues and all that crap and power issues, which this time was really good, and because I got a new hard drive in my main Mac, I kind of got it rebuilt, and so everything went really smooth on that end, which made it. And then I found an incredible guitar player in Louisiana, and I've been using this drummer in Louisiana as well. He's incredible. He's got the best drum tones I've ever heard.
Yeah,
so
the song is great.
It's hard to, as long as I got the arrangement and I got it, and then I have to get it absolutely perfect.
True.
To a click track on the with my acoustic and my vocal, so the drummer will get that. He'll get me with my acoustic guitar, and then I have to work with him to try to to build the arrangements of where I want all the fills and where I want that. So that's usually the hardest part. Now that I have this guitar player, he's incredible, and he's set up with I couldn't play electric guitar. Because I'm in a fourplex and I can't, you have to be so loud to get a good tone, and I can't do it. And I did it on a bunch of my other stuff, but it was so stressful. And
that's
I wrote basically all the main licks and all the main parts to it, and he played it perfectly for me. And then he added his own stuff, which was great. And if you listen to it, you'll hear it sounds like a steel guitar. That's all him on guitar.
Let me ask you this question about that process of making music. Do you think it's a little bit more difficult when you have to do it like far away from each other, like virtually, or how and sending tracks? And then,
it's weird because
don't you think you get a little bit more energy?
Because it's the bounce back of communication.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're in a room with someone, I can just go on the drum kit, I'm a shitty drummer, but at least I can convey my idea. It's like within seconds, you can tell them what you want. And like in Nashville, I tell people all the time, like it kind of made me, I wouldn't say a worse musician, but it didn't really make me a better musician, because in the studios, you always had the best players in the world.
Right.
And now I've got to do everything on my own, which is fucking awesome, dude, because normally one song will cost like $3,500. And now I'm at the point where I can get a song out for $700 Canadian. I'm doing all the editing. I'm doing all the mixing.
True.
I'm doing all that, and
it's more legwork. It's more tedious, but it saves a lot of money, and you can put out more songs.
So this one, it turned out this was like probably the most pain-free one. There's still a lot of stuff, obviously, you go through. Like I think by the final mix, I had mixed it 86 times.
Fuck.
And so I have to bounce it down to an MP3.
Okay.
And then, you know, play it in different stereos, my truck stereo, my car, different headphones, because every single headset is different. You're going to get a different sound, right?
Yep.
So I just really focused on mixing it to what everybody today is listening to music through. So it would be like, what's just the laptop common? Speakers or just like your Bose headphones. And so,
smartphone,
you know, it's a mixture, but this came out really fast and I'm really happy with it. And I'm really happy with the mix and
digging it
and
up.
And then, I think the hardest part, honestly, is always like, I always leave bass for last.
Yeah.
And it's just, man, it's so hard to find fucking bass player that just won't butcher your fucking song.
Really?
Like, it's like,
is it, why is that?
Bass player I don't tries want bass to all over much, my fucking or, song. Oh, I don't, like, it's a song. Dude, listen to it.
I used to play bass, and I didn't really play too much just like rock music or, you know, anything like that. I played a lot of ska music because the bass parts were actually intricate enough to where I wouldn't feel the need to, like, step outside, because like good songs, like I hear the bass parts, I'm like, that's really simple. That doesn't mean it's bad, it's really good, it's what you should do. But then it's like, I kind of imagine you get a bass player, it's like, check out this riff, and you're like, well, that doesn't really work with what we're doing. Like, I get what you're doing, but I don't know if it was something like that or another bass issue.
What's wrong with the bass? But Geddy Lee was a bass player,
true, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, you know, the hardest part for people is just this, what separates
being part of the band
professional is somebody, and no matter what instrument you're playing or what piece of your role is within the song, is if you always do your best for the song, that's what makes you a professional.
Yeah,
that's it. Right. That's as easy as it gets, and that's the hardest thing for people to understand.
Yeah.
And that's why those guys in Nashville that make a living playing in those studios, they understand that and they play for the song. And it's just so hard for people to grab that. And that's what makes you a pro. And you don't have to be making a living playing that, because it's almost impossible to do it unless you're out in Nashville and it's a core bunch of guys and they're amazing, but that's what separates. But, you could be anywhere in the world.
You know,
and if you know how to play for the song and you understand what the song needs, and that's what I've really matured in that whole area as a producer and as an arranger. Like I understand now that letting things breathe and letting but it depends. Sometimes the song calls for a little bit more action, but so that's the hardest part, is just finding, like, now that I got this guitar player, he's fucking incredible, and of course me and a guitar player are going to be able to communicate so easy,
right? Because you play, because you're a guitar player,
I understand that world. But drums, like this guy I've got playing, he's just a great fucking person, and he will do whatever it takes to get it done, no matter if it's 50 times. This time he did it his first take, it worked, and that's the one I went with. I think he did it 3 or 4 times after, but the first take was the one I went with.
Yeah, good.
It was great.
That's great.
Had some, you know, obviously there's some things in it, and then normally what people do in Nashville is, what people don't understand, this is the biggest. The engineer, the editor, the person running Pro Tools who taking the tracks, they are actually they deserve a musician credit, because normally they're taking the performance and they're cutting and they're pasting it and they're putting it perfectly to the grid. And that's what I've had to do a lot.
Right.
Like I had to do that with the bass track, and I had to move things. I had to do like 22 incisions on it and move it. And then you've got to fade out perfectly. Otherwise you're going to hear pops and clicks throughout the track when it's playing. It's so funny because my ears are so attuned to that now that when I listen to stuff on the radio and I'm so hard on it, I hate like, them.
Fucking got a click right there.
So I can hear it. I can hear them on the radio, and I can hear them on these number one songs. I hear the clicks and the pops and I'm like, okay, I don't feel so bad now if there's a couple in my song, and the average person's not going to hear it.
True.
There's probably a lot that you have to do.
But
like,
when you were creating this song here with your guitar player and your drummer, did you guys ever like set up virtually and play together and kind of work it out?
No, I never do that shit because I'm writing the song. Like, here's the thing, where I'm at right now in the role, I don't like, everything goes, it has to go through me. I can't have any outside influence. What I bring to the table to the drummer is what has to stay.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
That's, so the arrangement, and that's not being arrogant. It's just like, right. when you're leading yeah. a song, you can't have multiple people yeah. telling you what they think it should have. Yes. You won't get anywhere. Dude. You will right. be second guessing everything.
Yeah.
All the fucking
I guess
time.
I can see what you're talking
it's
about.
It's like, this is what it is. And that's why I live with these songs right. for a while. Like I got a new one right now. Like I've got 7 ready to roll, but I'm almost finished writing this new one, which I'm going to get out to the drummer and hopefully it'll be out in a month or so. And cool. but I'm living with it now. So like I've played it four days in a row and I've taped it and then I bring it up and listen, play it in the car, whatever. And it, now it's like probably 98% there. Everything's written, but it's right. always the arrangement. It's how the arrangement has to go. Everything is based on the arrangement it's because the true. Arrangement dictates where the drum fills are going to go. It dictates where the main hooks, everything boils down yeah. to the arrangement.
Yeah. I agree and, with you on that. So, I mean, I've heard some, you know, some of well, the, some of the best songs in the world are arranged beautifully.
yeah,
you know, and it really comes into that into that piece, you know.
You know,
that people forget,
make,
you know, they're like, "Oh, you're a band."
Producers and this and that, but it's like once you become a songwriter, not just a songwriter, but you're an artist right. and you understand it, that's a beautiful thing because you don't need anybody else. You don't need anybody's outside influence on it. I'm right. not saying that I would never work with a producer. That'd be great, but I've just been alone for so long and I right. and just the way it has to be. I mean, I had to yeah. earn my way into the right to be able to do that. Right. That's just through hard work and dedication. You just don't do that overnight.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's a lot.
Yeah, you've been practicing the craft.
Hashing it out,
yeah.
they call it, and just absolutely dedicating yourself to it. And
right.
And like I said, this one came easy. This was, but it normally doesn't come this easy, but they've been coming easier
oh,
on writing
good,
it.
Huh?
So
that's a good thing.
Hopefully now, like the arrangements there, he'll hear the yeah. drum pattern and then we'll just go back and forth. And he's a joy for me to talk to too, because
right.
he's such a good
that
dude.
Makes it
they're
easier
from Louisiana
too, yeah.
and they're great fucking dudes.
They're just
there.
Good.
They're
yeah,
awesome,
they're just good.
So.
They're just good guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's good. That helps
but yeah,
too,
that's kind of the insight of what it is. But like when I say Nashville kind of made me a lazier musicians because everything was there. I had the best engineer, the best person on the computer. Okay. I never had to learn any of that. All I had to do was focus on writing the song and singing it. And then yeah. if I was slightly off out of the pocket, they could just move it. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
True.
Right.
Yeah, you can just fix it right there.
Or they would tune it. Or they would tune the vocal if it was a little bit out. And there's not one bit of tuning on my shit. Like, so, like, yeah. it has to be there. Like, you have to get the performance down. Yeah. And there's no moving of the vocal. And I'm not saying it's perfect, but it works.
Yeah,
like,
it helps. Like
I said,
well, that's,
normally,
I think that's the truth of music,
listening,
though.
They don't hear what I hear.
Yeah.
They're not listening for the mistakes. They're not listening for the critiques. They're hearing the song. They're engaged in it, and they're feeling the vibration off it. And if the mix is right, nobody's gonna know a thing, right? So
right,
yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, don't mean to ramble on, but
it's a passionate thing with me. Yeah, no, I'm enjoying this conversation actually, pretty much.
Yeah, it's
always like
yeah.
hearing about the craft of creating
that's,
music.
That's why
you know?
You see bands break up. Because normally 95% of the time band break up because there's a huge fight within the arrangement of the song, and that's it's stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's you know,
it's
like
do
how
you
many
think,
bands
you think some,
together that just.
But do you think that ego gets in the way sometimes too? Like you know, well, maybe there's you know
ego?
Just a couple guys who are writing all the songs and. You know,
oh yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Like I think you know, I just kind of said like I have to be the guy. I have to be in control of all of it. Well,
right.
I'm a solo artist. What makes
right.
sense? And
right.
I'm doing all the roles. But
right.
yeah, that'd be tough in a band, especially when you got a bunch of really creative people, but you got the main songwriter. But normally, like in really good bands, like I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know. It's hard to say because I've never really been in a band like that. So
right.
I've always been on my own. But
yeah.
from what I know of people that have been in bands and my favorite bands that have broken up, for sure, it's always it's a mixture of everything.
Yeah,
a lot of the times, it's a mixture of direction,
yeah.
where they want to take the band, right? So
right.
it's not
oh yeah,
necessarily
yeah, it's true. That I guess
song,
a good example of that
the
would
direction
be
they
would be Van Halen. You know, when David Lee Roth left Van Halen, you know that was you know Dave wanting to stay. You know the fun. You know Van Halen. You know. Party rock band, and Eddie wanted to start doing other things besides just playing the guitar and branching out into
why not?
Because why not? But
it's writing hit pop songs is not easy. It's the hardest thing to do, no matter what anybody tells you. Like it's, and you know, fucking Eddie's an incredible writer.
He's amazing, and he always said, he's like, I would rather be, you know, more respected for, you know, what I've done as far as writing and arranging and other things in the music business. And instead, you know, he goes, I'm good at the guitar. Yes. We all know that, you know?
But one thing I love about his playing and why he's, I love his playing and is he is the greatest guitar player or whatever. Right. But he knows how to play for a fucking song. He knows.
Yeah, exactly.
He can't just go eruption on every solo. And if he does do that, you better believe it's going to be a great melody. The guy's, he's got melody. That's the difference between Eddie and other incredible guitar players. There's guys in the country world that are absolutely great players, but I can't stand their playing because they, and it's just like, man, you butchered the song. You went fucking crazy on this guitar solo. And in my opinion, it just didn't call for it. But I mean, it's an opinion.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I'm like, this is not really necessary in this song. I've heard that myself, you know. it doesn't really fit. Why did you go for that?
I will say is really fucking incredible. Who's a really incredible country guy is Keith Urban. That guy, he knows how to write. And I know he's very open. Like I think he's got like 3 or 4 guitar players, like the best guitar players playing on his shit too. And he's incredible. We all know that. But he plays for the song and that's a true professional. That's why he's had the success he's had, because he understands. And I'm not going to name the other people that I'm like, fuck, you know, like I don't really think they're playing, but why might as well. Like I'm not a huge, I think Brad Paisley's incredible. I think he's a great player, but he's an excellent guitar player. Yeah. In my opinion. But
I saw him play with Peter Frampton when I worked on the Jackson and I was like, God damn. he's good.
Oh, he's incredible, right?
Yeah, a really good guitar player.
You can get away with that live, but again, you're restricted for 3 minutes, and in that 3 minutes of a song, it's up. Yeah. It's, you know, you've got to, and especially with a guitar solo, you've got like 30 seconds tops, right?
Right.
But I mean, like, listen, the guy's amazing. I would never say he's a bad guitar player. He's fucking blow me out of the water. He's incredible. But when it comes down to the song, some stuff I hear, I'm like,
yeah, I mean, I don't always dig the song for sure. Sometimes it's like, it's kind of lame. You know?
And I'd say a good majority of it. Does he have somebody telling him? Maybe you should do something different, because I mean, maybe that's all comes to ego too, right? Yeah. Like maybe it's like, oh no, this is the way it's going to be, and that's the way I want it. And so a lot of guys can't.
True to themselves.
They're not open to that, right?
Yeah, so maybe not true to themselves.
They're not open to a different suggestion. I don't know. I've never been in the studio with them. Yeah. But you can just kind of tell on the tracks. When I listen to a Keith Urban song, I know no matter who's playing that, they're playing for the song. And his solos are just, they're really tasteful and soulful. And yeah, that's it.
So I guess you could say that, you know, it's a band's breakup and all this stuff. It comes down to 99% ego and not playing for the song, and 1% Yoko.
Yeah.
That happens once.
Yeah.
Yoko.
Yeah.
We don't want to forget her.
I don't know about the... I don't know how much more that plays into it. There's a lot of shit, but I don't know.
She broke up the Beatles.
And that's sad, right? Like a great band. I actually think that you've got to fuck it up because of relationships.
I
don't know.
I started watching the
drugs or alcohol. Yeah. I mean, that's a big factor too, isn't it?
Yeah, but, it is.
Yeah. I started watching.
I understand the creative end. Like, if you break a band up over the creative end, that's totally fair. Right. That's totally legit because, you know, it's bound to happen. You're bound to grow out of a relationship with your, and a lot of these bands have been together since they've been kids, right?
Right.
Like teens.
College
or high school, and they grow up, and then they get successful and they put out great records, and then usually it will be like the lead singer or something wants to take the band in a new direction, and the band's not willing to do that.
Right.
Well, it's going to be chaos.
Yeah, those bands that do make it there aren't, it's incredible because there aren't many of them. Like, it's only, it's because the odds of that happening, because it's pretty reasonable that, yeah, people, even if they have a good dynamic, might come to some creative differences. Because like you said, you grow as a person, you don't just stay the same, like, even when you're playing in a band. So maybe you want to branch out to something else that somebody else doesn't want to. And that's a reason. So, like, yeah. Anytime a band stays together for a really long time, like, it's unusual because it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
If you have a band like, let's just use the Stones, for example.
Yeah.
They have two main songwriters. So
yeah.
They're going to be in charge of what they want on those songs. And that's, you know, and so I don't think the guys in the band are going to be like, well, no, the guys in the band are going to play for the songs because they know the two songwriters are Keith and Mick, right?
Yeah.
So when you start writing songs as a band, I think that's where the trouble comes in.
Okay.
It's like, oh, fuck, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's too many hands in the pot.
Well,
yeah,
I understand that, but don't you still think that, you know, some things inside of, like, you know, in that recording process when they're doing it together, that there's a little bit of improvisation, you know? I mean, I'm sure, you know, Ron Wood has said, hey, you know, why don't we slop up this guitar a little bit and make it a little sleazier?
Sure. Like, I don't think those guys not at all.
But still playing
like,
for
I
the
mean,
song, knowing what the song needs.
Like,
you have to go back
to
the,
do,
like you're
but
saying.
It, they're not... I think you got to have the person who makes the overall decision of what's, because Ron Wood's going to play like 10 different things and they're going to pick what they want in it. Right.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know,
the reason why Led Zeppelin was so successful is because Jimmy Page controlled the whole thing.
Yeah.
He knew he produced.
John Paul Jones did a lot of the arrangements,
but he was the guy in control. He knew the end result. He was the guy that went, okay, it's ready to go now. This is what we need you to do. And he gave, but that didn't mean he was sitting there saying to Robert Plant, hey, don't write this lyric, don't do this and that. No, man. He gave all those guys.
Robert Plant wrote a lot of those songs.
You got to give them the freedom. But he was the end guy to go, okay, this is the arrangement we're going with. This is the tracks we're going to use.
I don't know.
You've got to have that one guy.
I don't know what you can say about Led Zeppelin, but there was definitely some kind of magic involved inside of that band. You know, I mean, I've listened to
magic.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe they sold their soul. Who knows? But I mean, it's pretty amazing.
There was
what they created as a band. You know, I mean, as far as best pieces.
How can anybody? I don't know. Like, it's the greatest sound in rock ever, in my opinion.
And, some of it's not even rock and roll. Some of it's not even really rock and roll. It's just music. You know, when I hear it, sometimes it's like, this is just music.
Yeah, it's not
you know?
Beholden to like a certain sect of like, this is rock or this is country or this is jazz. It's
right.
Like kind of
it's everything. It's music,
every person in that band, their role meant so much.
I heard an interview, I think, with both Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, said we'll never go out as Led Zeppelin again because John Bonham's not here.
Bonham's
not here,
right? So
it's like, even after we broke up, and he died, that's the reason pretty much we broke up. You know, Robert wanted to do his own thing, Jimmy wanted to do his own thing, you know.
Yeah, sometimes that happens, though. People try to come back and it's just, you don't have the same sound and it just doesn't work out. At that point, it's like almost worse than if you had just left it, you know, left it on a high note.
I don't think the Who is ever, they should have probably not went out as the Who after Keith Moon died.
Keith
Moon did. Again, another drummer
John Entwistle.
All those guys.
He was just important to the Who.
All needed. That was like, those were bands, man.
Yeah.
That was a band. Like, each person
Black Sabbath,
meant so
you know?
Much
yeah,
to
yeah.
the song and to the Their talent lended it, and it, like, you take one guy out of the puzzle, it's not the band anymore.
Right.
It's just not.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, well, Van Halen did all right with Sammy, you know, and Black Sabbath, you know.
But that was a whole different thing, though. They revamped themselves.
That's true.
They said, hey, Eddie said, this is my chance to
reinvent
showcase
this band.
My songwriting ability, and I finally got a singer that's willing to go
where I
want to
go.
These songs
very
and
true.
Can go. David Lee Roth can't go where Sammy Hagar went. Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
Fucking whole different. Yeah, he's a whole different machine, right?
Yeah, like, he's definitely he's a genius. Amazing. Fucking
still singing like a motherfucker at his age.
You he's know,
incredible.
He is and definitely one of my favorites
too. But two different bands, really.
Right.
You take that lead singer out, you got two different bands.
Oh yeah, definitely. There is definitely a distinction between the two. But you know, I mean, even with the you know, like when I talk about Black Sabbath and after Ozzy left and Ronnie James come in and did the you know those two records with them. Phenomenal records and the live record, but they made that transition, and then Ronnie James was, you know, well, he wanted to do his own thing, and of course we ended up with his solo stuff, which was great too.
We all seen the disaster when Axl Rose tried to go out with Guns N' Roses without Slash and
everybody talking about
just a fucking joke, like.
Nobody wanted to see
immediately
it.
Immediately washed up was the thought that I had.
Exactly. Nobody's like, if I'm going to go see Guns N' Roses, I want to see the band Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
And then even
you can take Steven Adler out of it, really. Like, yeah. I mean,
well, he was out of it. He was
argue that, but, yeah, because like Matt Sorum had such a huge impact on Use Your Illusions, and those records were massive. Because
Adler was fucking out, fucking on drugs.
You can't take Slash out of Guns N' Roses. I'm sorry,
Duff either. Duff McKagan has a very unique fucking bass style playing going on too. You know, he's so influenced music. You know, with punk
one of the last original guys that you could put on and identify and go, I know that Slash. That's Slash playing.
Yeah.
You
know, so
just like you can tell, like Eddie, you could go, "Oh, it's Eddie."
Yeah.
That's Slash. You can hear that.
That's very true.
You know, just stand out.
Fucking South Park episode.
You know, I know a lot of people, you know, in the rock world, say he's a sloppy, terrible player. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. He could write his guitar solos were hit songs in their own right.
Right.
In and of themselves. Yeah. You know. But, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, here, let's take a break. I'm gonna roll out with your song here, Chade. All right. I know. I thought you said Mom was making dinner tonight. Let's see. Typical Canadian.
Yeah,
dinner.
I'm still waiting for her to text me back. Yeah. So
let's see. What's she making over there?
Some poutine.
She have to go Canadian and hunt bacon. It down.
What's that?
She have to go out and hunt it down and kill it and skin it.
Oh yeah, you get caribou.
Up there in Alberta.
I wish.
Up there in Alberta. You'll be happy to know that, you know, we do on the truck that I work on, we do a southern poutine.
Southern poutine.
Yeah. We do it with
just biscuits and gravy.
We do pimento cheese.
Okay.
And we scoop it out there like the cheese curds. And then we put pulled pork on top, and then we take the pork gravy and then hit it with coleslaw.
Damn. All right. Yeah. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. So for our Canadian brothers out there. Anyway, I'm going to roll out on this song.
Canadian fusion.
Because I really got to go to the bathroom, so.
Oh, yeah.
Any setup you want to give to this song? Whiskey, sweet whiskey?
No, I think I already talked about it enough.
Talked about it enough. All right.
Anybody likes
let's punch the button here.
iTunes,
we might get a commercial.
That'd be awesome. Every little bit helps.
There it is. Chade Biggs, Whiskey, Sweet Whiskey. You guys all enjoy.
Sponsor. good.
There you have it, Chade Biggs with Sweet Whiskey, Sweet Whiskey. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Support Chade on all your favorite platforms.